Hello, this is Tiffany from DeLib and welcome to the Practical Democracy podcast. If you're new here, the PDP is a place where we talk with guests from public bodies and civil society about how we can improve democracy today. We really like bringing people together, virtually at the moment, but usually in person, to find out who's doing interesting work in this field. In the last series, we talked about accessible arts, scrutiny, democracy in a time of misery, and even conservative anarchism. So if you like what you hear, be sure to follow wherever you get your podcasts, or you can even head over to delib.net and see what we've been up to lately. Coming up, we're talking about practical ways we can involve more young people in local democracy. And if you've been on the internet lately, you might recognise one of the voices.
I'll continue to admit people if you'd like to start the meeting, Chairman.
You have no authority here, Jackie Weaver. No authority at all.
Okay, the cat is out the bag. For this episode, we are joined by the legendary Jackie Weaver, who is the chief executive of the Cheshire Association of Local Councils, which is kind of a mouthful to say. We're also joined by Dr. Rebecca Rumble, who keen podcast listeners will know did an episode with us earlier on last year about participatory budgeting and citizens' assemblies. So if you want to hear more from Beck, I strongly recommend you go back and listen to that episode. And we're also joined by Hattie Andrews, who is the director and founder of The Politics Project. The first voice you'll hear will be Jackie's, and we asked, why is it so important for her to use her newfound platform to engage more people with politics at a local level?
It occurs to me when I talk about it that it sounds like we're talking about something new. That, you know, the town and parish council movement suddenly woke up to the idea, my goodness, we've got any young people around, what should we do about it? And actually, you know, we've been trying to address this for, it's got to be the best part of 20 years. But you can see how successful we've been since we're still having exactly the same conversation. And I guess that historically, my experience of trying to involve young people in local democracy is that actually what we do is we end up creating mini-me's. So we've ended up creating kind of youth parliament, and that's not what I'm talking about, but locally we end up creating youth councils. And rather than the youth councils becoming something dynamic that really begins to change the kind of footprint, they become like little town councils or little parish councils in their own rights, and they write their own standing orders and they have committees, and they in turn generate a whole infrastructure that is kind of like a town or parish council. So kind of that level of communication just wasn't working. So hence my genuine question, what do you see as the barriers? Because we're just not getting it right. So, you know, I'm not saying that every town and parish council goes out of its way to engage with young people. They don't. But the ones that do, they're clearly not pitching it right. Because even when we're getting engagement, we're not getting what we hope for. So for me, it seemed to be about starting the conversation again. Let's start from scratch. I think the terrifying thing here is how low a level we're actually starting from. There's a lot happening about bringing young people together to talk about engagement. The bit that I'm not seeing happening is where we have the parish councils who are also talking about engagement, and the two bits just don't seem to meet up with each other. What am I doing about it? Well, I'm trying to use the platform that I've been given by a parish council to kind of raise awareness generally of parish council, because I think that's one of the biggest barriers. That, you know, the question is often asked, you know, what are we doing to make young people get involved with town and parish councils? Well, the first thing we need to do is tell them they're there.
Okay, so let's hear what Beck has to say.
I was wondering, actually, Jackie, a lot of these meetings, you know, you're talking there about you tried to create structures that kind of replicated the actual structures with young people, and the problems with trying to talk about engaging with young people, but them not actually having you know, that actual decision-making power, not having an equal seat at the table. I'm wondering very much if we are being a bit too condescending to younger people, especially, you know, if you're trying to replicate the council itself, but they don't have that decision-making power, is there an issue where they're becoming frustrated because they're essentially kind of second class? And similarly, you know, if we're talking about younger people who are over kind of 16, well, I mean, I'm in Cardiff, you know, in the devolved nations, they can actually vote now. So if you are allowed to vote, surely, you know, we should also be encouraging those young people to actually sit on those councils to represent other young people their age, so that the experience becomes a bit more meaningful rather than kind of seeing them as not mature enough maybe to be making those decisions yet. Is that something that, you know, we should be maybe investing a little bit more in actually getting young people into the structures rather than just kind of on the periphery?
I think I might even go further, you know, picking up your point about being patronising. You know, I can't buy into tokenism at all. You know, the idea that we should have young people on local councils, I don't buy into at all. I think what's more interesting is why they need to be there, and it's not up to me to decide which council needs young people and which don't. I mean, there will be perfectly representative councils up and down the country, probably at kind of either end and at the sides, where their demographic is older men and women, white men and women. But they are perfectly representative of their community. Leave them alone. But it's when they are not representative of the community that I think we should be, you know, kind of really pushing. And I kind of feel we should challenge young people, because if we're saying they're able, then they also should be coming to the table and saying, this is what I'm bringing, let me in.
Hattie, it would be really good to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I think that's spot on in terms of, you know, it's really interesting what you say about that kind of how a local council can kind of reflect the population. So a lot of the work that we do is all about connecting young people with their local councillors or with people that they get to choose, they represent them. And we, you know, we have this choice of, you know, we'll put in the postcode of a school and we'll look up who are your local councillors, who are going to be the people that you get to work with to engage you in local government. And often you just have three white men over maybe the age of 50 or 60. And you just go, oh, it's, you know, sometimes it can feel a little bit frustrating in terms of looking to find those, build those relationships and find those connections. But just going back on the thing you were saying before about that whole problem about kind of creating these structures that are kind of mirrors of local government in the youth councils and in school councils and stuff like that. So we've started using this new term, this that just we use internally, really, that we call those, there's about kind of 7 to 10% of young people that keep coming up in all of our work that we call hyper engaged. And they're the young people that kind of choose to put their hand up, really love politics, really like engaging in stuff. And actually, we've started treating them as being actually a little bit atypical, rather than thinking everyone else should be like them. We start thinking that, you know, like absolutely loving watching parish council meetings is a little bit atypical of a maybe 14 or 15 year old. And actually thinking about, you know, how is that affecting the way that we engage with young people? Because what can end up happening is you end up with this kind of feedback loop that then when local councillors want to engage with young people, they engage with the youth councils. And then they're thinking, oh, that's what all young people are like. But actually, from a lot of the work we've done, they're quite atypical in quite a few different ways. So it's really interesting about like, how can we get beyond just that kind of representative body and get kind of look at alternative ways that we can engage different types of young people who want to engage in different types of ways, I think.
Absolutely. And it's kind of like, you know, I don't think, I can't imagine any young person, you know, well, perhaps the atypical ones, but most young people don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm just looking forward to getting my teeth into that agenda and reading those meeting papers and checking out whether the Local Government Act 1972, Section 111 will cover this issue. What they're really interested in, I guess, is, you know, is there a safe route for walking to school for my young brother or sister? you know. So, you know, what I'm really trying to encourage them to do is kind of almost to see the parish council as a secondary aspiration. And your first aspiration is, what are you trying to do? Because then let's look at how we can use the structure that we have, the town and parish council, to facilitate it. And town and parish councils can work in slightly different ways than they do now. I mean, of course, we are covered by bureaucracy. We're local governments, you know. But there are ways that we can find our way through that to make it easier for councillors, particularly, to achieve what it is that they're trying to do.
Jackie, that's really interesting. And I think, Patty, probably you might have come across this as well. It's like a lot of younger people tend to be quite issue-focused. So it's with younger people, you know, you're less likely to come across a younger person that's a diehard Conservative fan or Labour fan, but you are very likely to come across a young person that is really invested in issues like the climate crisis. You know, young people identify with specific issues a lot more. So how can we use that, you know, those kinds of hooks to get young people involved in parish councils and local government? Are there things that, I mean, obviously, you know, the climate crisis is a global issue. We're not going to solve it completely at a local level. But is that something that local government and local councils should be thinking about in terms of engaging young people really on specific issues that they really care about, rather than the general nature of the administration and the politics?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because I think councils generally are beginning. I mean, we don't move at a fast speed. I think you will recognise that. But councils are beginning to pick up on the climate change agenda. Okay, they recognise that they probably won't have a huge effect on the whole world, but we can probably save 2 plastic bottles by the end of the year and let's give it a go. But that's, I think, where young people can really make a difference. Because if you have a council that has got this kind of, well, we should really be doing something, but I don't really know what, and we're really involved at the moment in building the village hall, then that's the kind of opportunity for a young person to say, well, why don't we have a working group on it? Young person would need, you know, limited, you know, external support in the infrastructure for that, but could then contribute something to the parish council that the parish council in turn was grateful for. It has a real purpose rather than being tokenism.
I was just wondering the extent to which the institutional language kind of makes young people believe that, you know, this is not quite for them. But also in terms of engaging further, you know, I can just about remember being a teenager, and you know, the councils seemed so grown up and so authoritative, and they used a language that I didn't understand. You know, I didn't speak it. You know, councils are very kind of, you know, they have a closed system of using their own terms for things, and there's an assumption that if you say something, everyone around the table knows. So is that off-putting for young people? Is that kind of creating a barrier where even if a young person does feel interested, it seems just a bit overwhelming or a bit daunting, that this kind of language barrier and coupled with maybe an age barrier as well, you know, a big age gap between you and the other people that you're trying to engage with. Does this all kind of combine to just, you know, say to young people, well, really, you might as well not bother because this is just too much?
It's so interesting, Beth, because everything you've just said, I could equally well apply to councils talking about young people. Oh, it's a closed shop. They're talking a language I don't understand. I've only just learned myself how to tweet. I now know the difference between a handle and a hashtag. It's another language. You know. So there's definitely something there about communication. Absolutely. But it's that two-way street, because I guess that, you know, you often hear that, you know, young people saying how intimidating a council meeting is, and how, you know, this group of old people sitting together, you know, looking at you, often wearing glasses, you know, under the nose kind of thing. very intimidating. There's nothing more intimidating than sitting in a room full of young people, each of which have this kind of language that, you know, you have no idea what they're... I mean, that sounds like I'm making fun of them. I'm genuinely not. You know, but my son, who is... my oldest son is now 37. And he says stuff, and I think, I have no idea what you're talking about. He'll use phrases, or he'll tell me something about how he's accessed something online. And I get the gist of it, but I don't always understand the actual detail. And then there's a new platform that comes out. Oh, yes. Yeah. So we do have an issue with communication, but it works both ways.
How can we stop using, or, you know, change the way we use some of the terminologies, and, you know, things like mentioning working groups and, you know, all of these words? You just mean a meeting, you know. So, you know, sometimes it's just, there can be lots of this terminology that has kind of grown up over time. And I think it's that point of how can you make sure that that isn't a barrier to engagement? How can you make sure that you can kind of, did we need to use that term? Did we need to call it that? Did we need to use that word? And I'm just thinking about, so we design learning resources, and we've designed learning resources on local government before. And every time we get to a term that is difficult to understand or difficult to define, we define it, and we create a glossary at the back of all of our resources that have got definitions of all of these different terms. And I'm just thinking about, you know, could you think about it in terms of, you know, we want to make that glossary as short as possible when we're talking about, you know, when we're talking to a young person about local government. And it's this really interesting problem that we've all got, and I've now got it when I talk about politics, is that the moment you know a term and the moment you know how to use it, it stops being alien and it stops being difficult, and it just becomes part of the way you talk, and you don't even notice you're using it. You don't know that you're using this language anymore. And then all of a sudden, you know, you can meet somebody who doesn't know any of those terms, and you realize you just suddenly realize you're stopping and going, Oh, that's new. Okay, that's new. So, yeah, it can be sometimes just being reflective about that language, just on, you know, for individual people, can be really, really important. But it could also be, you know, it's an interesting point for, if there's a real wish for councils to really open up for young people, maybe having a look through and going, how can we use this? You know, do we need to use all of these kind of procedures and terms all the time if we're trying to make things as engaging as possible? And it's almost like, you know, you don't want, you know, someone like me can do some work on helping young people to understand the systems, but you don't want to spend so much time understanding the systems that you never get to have the conversation that you actually want to have about the issues or about, you know, the things that young people care about. And you spend all of your time learning about structures, at which point young people are falling asleep because they're not that interesting.
Okay, so it's the midpoint check-in. We're going to switch direction just a little bit and find out if anyone's doing this kind of engagement well. So, back to Beg.
It's very, very difficult to identify good examples because I'm just not sure how many of them are out there. Good examples of well-established, ongoing engagement of young people in local decision-making. We see all over the world, the UK included, lots and lots of very kind of isolated, bounded projects where a council will say, we want to ask young people about X, and they will go out and they'll do an exercise, and it can be relatively successful. You know, they can talk to a lot of people, and whatever the policy that they are consulting on, you know, is relatively well informed. Those exercises, unfortunately, to do them well, they take a lot of effort, which requires time, money, other resources that, let's face it, you know, most councils simply don't have. So what you find is you only have one of these kind of one-off exercises every now and again to inform something that is kind of precision focused on young people. What you don't get are these exercises taking place where young people will be peripherally affected, but because they are not the focus of the policy, they're not consulted. So, you know, if you're talking about things like, you know, even kind of relatively benign things like having a new tower block built where there used to be, I don't know, a music venue or having a new road put through somewhere where actually there used to be fields where children used to play in. Because these aren't directed at young people, that's where you kind of get a very kind of big democratic deficit, I think. So I think the big issue, I think, you know, researchers that have been looking at this is how do you take those one-off things that are really good and make them established and make them just standard? Because we have consultation exercises where anyone can respond. But again, as we've all been talking, young people aren't rushing home after school, logging onto their computers and seeing what council consultations they can respond to before getting into their homework. What are good, you know, Germany, the US, to be fair, actually has some really good examples of very local democracy. Again, as Jackie was saying, where people are campaigning on specific issues, they're far more young people in those places that are engaged in becoming, you know, a representative because they want to be able to make a small tangible difference to the place they work. And, you know, all of these exercises show that if you ask young people, they do want to be engaged. But it's so intimidating, I think, at first. They need to be asked rather than expecting them to come forward of their own volition. So there are examples out there, but I don't think anywhere yet has hit the jackpot in terms of establishing an ongoing sustainable process of engaging young people.
I guess my kind of background to that will always be, certainly at town and parish council level, I think you get yourself elected for a purpose. You know, I don't kind of feel that getting elected is the end game. And I think there are two end games or two purposes, and they're not mutually exclusive. One is because you've recognised that the parish council, town council, is a mechanism for you to achieve what you want to achieve locally. Whether that be putting up streetlights, Christmas lights for the first time, yeah? Whatever your aspiration was, that's the mechanism to do it. The other is maybe you do see yourself as the future prime minister or prime ministress. A parish council can give you an opportunity to move into that arena to learn without having the additional decision-making of, you know, what party do I want to belong to? So it can give you that grounding. It can get you, it can begin your political career. It can get yourself known as an activist, if that's how you want to see yourself. And you can begin your political career. So it has, to me, it has a kind of an opportunity for being elected to deliver on a number of fronts for you as a person. But ultimately, if it's not going to give you personally something, then what's the point? You know, it'd be nice to think that people become councillors because they were just horrible in a previous life and they're suffering from now on. But that's not why we become councillors. You know, you do it because you feel you're going to get something out of it.
Yeah, I think Jackie's hit on something really important there, which is that because it's quite small scale, you can do something tangible. This is one of the biggest issues for young people in politics, I think, is it's a very, very long process to get anything changed. If you're looking at, you know, even large town councils or county councils up to devolved and national level, you know, the wheels of those processes take years and years and years, by which time you are no longer a young person. If you've started something and it actually gets finished, you know, it's like 7 years later, you've been through university and had children by then. Whereas, you know, at town council level, you know, you can actually say, right, there's something tangible. I can actually achieve it if I commit to this for a year or two. I don't have to get distracted by picking a party, which, you know, is quite important and again, quite daunting, I think, for younger people who get, you know, maybe derailed by party things rather than just wanting to do one or two things really well.
Yeah, I think also just to say there's such an alignment through when we work with young people between local issues and the that's really where young people are really interested, and a lot of the things that they really, really care about are local and are hyper-local sometimes. And it's one thing that we talk to young people about a lot is that they really know the area and the streets around where they live, because for a lot of them, that's the only place they've ever lived. They have this like incredible kind of knowledge sometimes of a local area in the way that sometimes their parents, maybe even, you know, getting in the car and driving 30 minutes to get to work, are not experiencing in the same way. And there is this like pool of kind of understanding of that localism that is absolutely fantastic. And I think that's the thing to really play on, is the fact that you can make a difference on these local things that matter to you. And when you're a young person, you know, if it's, you know, we've worked with young people who, you know, have managed to get access to sports facilities that they didn't have access to before, or they've got, you know, we hear so much about like, oh, this thing has been broken in the place that we live for forever. I wish somebody would just fix it. And sometimes just like the smallest of asks, but going through that process of finding something like that, that, you know, that is wrong or is something that you want to get fixed, and then going through that kind of at a local level, that political process of getting it fixed or advocating for it and having that happen, it's an incredibly empowering and positive experience for a young person. And I think it's about, you know, how do we allow that to happen a lot more? Because there are so many small kind of easy wins along that line that we just need to connect the dots. And I think, yeah, as we think about young people quite a lot, in our work from a local level, as this like incredible store of knowledge about what's happening in the community, and I think that's part of the solution is for sometimes councils and councillors to really think about young people as an asset, as something they can tap into to help them make decisions, and not because it's just a kind of altruistic, you know, aren't I nice, I'm working with the young people, great photo op, you know, that'll look great in my newsletter, that sort of mentality, but actually thinking, I can make better policy, I can, you know, make better decisions if I talk to young people and I tap into their understanding.
I think often, Hattie, that there is support for that, but it struggles at the first hurdle. You know, so I am a council and I want to speak to young people in my community. Where will I find their voice? Who do I approach? Yeah. And it kind of falls at that first hurdle. Again, you can get that perhaps regional voice, or you can get a national voice, but it's like, where do I actually go in my own community to get the voice of young people? And do I want the voice of the 16-year-olds or the 18-year-olds? Because having had the experience of had one or two children myself, 16-year-old and an 18-year-old, chalk and cheese, their interests are not the same. So, you know, it's, again, I said the point, but it is difficult to know how you access that thing that we refer to as young people.
So one thing I was going to bring up, you know, obviously off the back of Jackie's famous meeting, that it was a little bit fraught, to say the least, wasn't it? One of the reasons that a lot of people give for not wanting to kind of go into any kind of politics is because it seems quite confrontational, and it seems quite, you know, it can seem quite aggressive from the outside. Sometimes, I mean, that you know, that particular meeting was a very specific example. But you know, what would you say to people that say that, you know, that saw that and said, "God, I wouldn't want to go into doing something like that. That seems a bit much for me," you know, because I don't think that's really representative, really, of a normal meeting. Hopefully, but yeah, what would you sort of say to someone that was reticent to go into that because they've seen those kinds of things?
Okay. First of all, don't confuse us with Parliament. The suits are a different colour. Secondly, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have lasted 25 years if like 6 days a week it was hostage negotiations, flak jacket on, in there, you know. No, that's not what most council meetings are like. But there is a caveat that goes with that, and that is, if you are with people who feel strongly about something, then, you know, you have got to be prepared for fairly robust debate. Now, if that's not for you, then find other ways of making your voice heard. And there are other ways of making your voice heard. But I think the other thing is, you know, take some reassurance from the fact that actually it has absolutely energized the whole sector. Because what we have been trying to do for a long time is drive up standards. We have a code of conduct, which is a code of conduct that's been reviewed and reviewed again. And you know, it's always fit for purpose. We're just tinkering around with the words. No why. But the bit that's missing and the bit that we need to really push government on, because government will need to do this, is we have got to have some sanctions. Now, some people might go down the view that, you know, it would be appropriate for public floggings or the appropriate kind of level of punishment. But in reality, what we're looking for is perhaps for suspension for 3 or 6 months to show that we are absolutely serious about driving up those standards. And it is, the trouble is that we're looking at one or two individuals within each county, probably, that cause real problems. And the rest of the people are, you know, okay, sometimes they get it wrong, sometimes they cross the mark, but, you know, when it's highlighted to them and they go through an investigation, they address their behaviour. But the small percentage that don't, no amount of shoving carrots in them is going to make any difference. This is when we need the sticks.
A question to you, Jackie, which was just, so say you have a, say there is a young person and they say, do you know what, I'd like to find out a bit more about local government and parish councils, where would you suggest they start? Where would they go? If you're just like, saw that video, thought it was quite interesting, would like to get more involved, where do you direct them? Where do they go first?
I think that if I was doing, I mean, if it's just a general, you know, like a single person, but we're actually talking about 5,000 of you, then, you know, you're going to point to resources because that's the only way that you can cope with a kind of large level of inquiries. And it's going to be something like the National Association of Local Councils resource, their website, nelc.org.uk, fabulous resource there. But if a young person was talking to me, and asked me what I was going to suggest for them, I'd want to know where they're starting from. So, you know, where are you? Where are you in your life cycle? Are you still a newt or are you be a frog anytime soon? You know, where are you in that aspiration of your life? And, you know, what do you want to do? And then tell me what you want to do and we'll find the best route for you into it. Because you've heard me speak before, Hattie. I'm passionate about local government, but that doesn't mean that I want to turn everybody into a parish councillor. I don't think that that is the role that suits everybody. But just like we need parish councillors, we also need the support officers behind them. They're two parts of the same story. And it may be that, you know, people follow my path rather than going down the election path. And want to be part of the support mechanism that drives change rather than the front man or woman. So, you know, I think there's the general signposting, but there's also that thing about, well, where is it you're trying to get to and where are you starting from?
Thank you for listening. We've got plenty more coming up, so make sure you subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts. If you or someone you know would make a great guest, you can email info@delib.net with podcast in the subject line. We really want to hear from you and we really love having these discussions, so definitely get in touch. You can follow us on Twitter @delibthinks or go to delib.net to read more about the resources and the tools that we create. That's it. See you next time.